back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. Today we are on episode number 28, and we're going to be talking about satisfaction in Christ. But before we get there, I just want to add a quick plug, and that is we would really appreciate it if you all would subscribe and to both our YouTube channel and then also to our Spotify and Apple podcast accounts. Because it makes a huge difference, and we've really appreciated being able to do this podcast every week, which is crazy because we're over half a year into this podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, please, if you want to follow, subscribe, we really appreciate it. And even share it with like one friend this week, whether it's this one or another one, because we do hope that more people are able to listen, because I think the Lord hopefully can use these conversations for good and the advancement of his kingdom. So just adding that in there. But we're talking about satisfaction, and it's a big topic to cover.
It is.
And so let's jump into a verse I think that everybody knows. If you're a Christian, you probably have heard this verse, and it's in John 6, 35, about hungering and thirsting, and how the, like, let me just read it. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And we were saying before, like, when you're thinking about the topic of satisfaction, this is such a central verse to understand what is Jesus saying, because it's an immense thing that he's telling his disciples, he's telling his crowd, the crowds around him. So yeah, you want to start to unpack the conversation.
Yeah, that's it. This is, I think in the years of teaching the Word of God, it's times you run into these kind of promises, and I think it's one of the more challenging verses, along with one we're going to talk about in a little bit about not, you know, about if any man thirst, come to me and drink. Okay, both of them, those are immense promises to human beings that you could come to the Lord and something could take place which would stop a hunger and a thirst. Now, again, what that is, we need to define, but that you could be satisfied and permanently satisfied on this earth, that is incredible. And I think it's one of those places where we really do need to stop and look at it and ask the Spirit of God to help us understand it, because it's easy to say, isn't that nice? And then just go on in your Christian life and you're still dissatisfied and you're still hungry and you're missing the point. And we don't take hold of it because that's such a profound picture that he puts in front of us.
Yeah, because if you think about it just practically, if you're like hungry, like, to get rid of the hunger, you have to eat something. And if you're thirsty, and it like it occupies your mind until you're able to, you know, curb the hunger. And so, but the Lord is saying, like, you'll never be hungry again. You'll never thirst as in. And so what is it that he's trying to communicate to us? Like, how would you begin trying to define satisfaction? Because you said that, like, it's a hard word to define.
It is.
When we, like, maybe think about security, it's easy to say, like, well, it's because you're afraid of something. Or, like, your identity, if you're not sure about it, well, you are a child of God.
Right.
But satisfaction can be a little bit more difficult. So tell me your thoughts on...
Okay. And I think that's one of the more important ones. When we're defining our lives, preachers use words, all right? And they use satisfaction and security and sufficiency and significance. And most of them are fairly easy to say, that's, as you said, well, I'm afraid. That's why I need security, so that I won't be afraid. And I know when that's taken care of because my heart comes to peace. I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. When we're thinking about significance, when we finally come to the place where I realize that my life counts because I'm in Christ, then I realize that. And then I stop worrying about what other people think about. But when it comes to satisfaction, what is the point there? And again, look at the picture just a moment. I think this is the way, again, there's probably different ways you could come at it, but look at the picture. He says, if any man, or again, he'll never hunger, he'll never thirst, if he comes to me. He's the bread of life. Okay. What happens when we're hungry or thirsty? Either one. Let's go to thirst because it's so much easier to depend. Why are we thirsty? We have a physical need, which our body has a mechanism for relating to us through thirst. The need is already there, all right? The need is for water. There is a mechanism that God has put into place so that we begin to sense that need through thirst. It's a way that we can tell it's time to put that in. If we meet that need, it passes to the back of the picture. If we don't meet that need, it becomes all-consuming. If I don't drink something when I am thirsty, if I don't drink something that supplies the water I need, I will get thirstier and thirstier. And pretty soon I can't do anything but take care of that. Once I take care of that need, then I am free to live life, all right? And then I'm free to do what has to be done. Okay, so he uses that picture and he says, now, something that the Lord can do for us when we come to him enables us to have a basic need, which is undefined here, but a basic need of our beings satisfied or again, we know when we're satisfied with water, we drink. Okay, now we don't need to drink anymore. The mechanism tells us it's done and it goes away. And so he says that with regards to our soul life, there is something in us that needs to be met. It comes to us in a form of dissatisfaction, we could use different words for that, but dissatisfaction or yearnings or desires or all the rest of it. But it's speaking about something which is fundamentally there. Until we deal with that, I think it just continues to get a more and more all-consuming, becomes an all-consuming problem. But if it was met, if that need, if that fundamental need is met, then our soul calms down. That's why I would put different words together to try to express the idea of satisfaction. I would put peace in there. Because our soul comes to a place where rest in there. They're not synonyms, but they're sort of.
It's like a picture of where your heart is at.
Right. Where,
like, if you're at rest, if you're at peace, you said earlier, contentment.
Contentment, right.
Those ideas communicate satisfaction.
Right.
Because if, like, I think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then the idea is that the sheep are in the pasture. They're by the still water. There's,
right.
Like, there's rest. There's security. All of these are aspects of satisfaction. Because
right.
If you're satisfied in the Lord, you'll ultimately be secure in him as well. Because you're not frustrated or fearing all these things around you. And so I think those words, both contentment, peace, was the one that you said?
Well, rest.
Rest.
Rest would also be in that. And those would be the evidences, just like when we drink the water, there's evidences we feel refreshed and all the rest of it. Those are the evidences that the whatever it is that we needed that is causing dissatisfaction has been satisfied. It has been met, and now we have this. And then this is very important with all those words: rest and peace and. But see, we have a sufficiency then to do the other things that are in life. Then we can address ourselves to what's needful in life. And we've been thinking about that, what we're to be for God on this earth. But we can't do that until that thirst goes away, because it just becomes all-consuming. So, so those are all evidences that something has been met. Now, the question here is, what is the thing that has to be met, so that what is it that the Lord promises to do, and he promises to do it for anybody who comes to him. Now, at the beginning, he says, I am the bread of life. And this is the very first I am statement. He starts right off there. I am the bread, the food that quenches the hunger of the human heart. I am personally that. And so he says, if you come to me and believe in me, then that will take care of it. How does it take care of it becomes the next question. How does that work out?
Yeah.
And go ahead. Yeah, that's where I would go to the passage in John chapter 7.
Seven, yeah.
Because it gives us a little bit of hint into how, what is he talking about here? What is he saying to us about what's possible for us?
Yeah, so John 7, you said 37 through 38,
right?
Correct?
Yeah.
And that says, on the last... John 7, yeah.
That's
on it. The last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." It's an incredible verse.
That is, that's pretty incredible, yeah. Now, there's two ways that can be interpreted, all right? I mean, it just, the language of it. When it says that out of his heart, it could mean that in the heart of the person who comes, a well of water arises which satisfies. It could mean that when you come to Christ, out of his heart, a water of well arises. Now, for those of us that understand the Paul's approach was, if I'm in Christ, that's petty. Between the two of those, yeah. Because it's the Lord in me who is my capacity. And so the well of water comes up there. But he then goes on to say that well of water that satisfies, that which that brings down here is the presence of the Spirit of God. Mm. That's what satisfies. That's what answers the basic need. And that comes out of the relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
It's when I come to him, then the Spirit of God does this. Mm-hmm. And that's the promise of the Lord himself.
That he ultimately is our satisfaction.
Right.
And I think it's easy to say, like, Lord is our satisfaction. But in day-to-day life, it can be hard to live in that reality continually.
Right.
And yeah. So, but I think it's, we have to, and we must learn how to do that. And so, do you think, I guess my question is the satisfaction that he's communicating here, is it just a, you now have eternal life? Because both passages communicate an aspect of
right.
Eternal life. Is it just that it is our salvation? And how do we then live in the reality that we are truly always satisfied in Christ every day?
Okay. I think the thing that we need to focus on is that ultimately, that satisfaction is the result of the relationship. Mm. Now, it is eternal life,
yeah.
But it's the relationship I have. It is the fact that now I know God. I know God in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And because I know God in Jesus Christ, and if I stay in that place where I am in a relationship with him, I am maintaining a right relationship, all needs of my heart are taken care of. They just are, all right? It doesn't mean that I don't have problems. It doesn't mean, but it does mean that I'm sufficient for them. And that's where I think the contentment comes. Paul says at the end of Philippians that I've learned the secret of contentment. Well, what is that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. See, he lived by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Everything that he was going to be asked to do, everything that was going to come up in life could be supplied to him because he was in this relationship. So that the satisfaction has to be associated with it. That is what the fundamental need of the human heart is. I was thinking about that in class this morning. We were thinking about Romans. You just have to go back to this fact that when God made us in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
He made us for himself. He didn't make us to work. He didn't make us to take over this earth. He gave man authority. But again, one of the subtle points of the creation story is this. The God's seventh day, the day of rest, was Adam's first day. That's the first full day. I mean, he was made on the sixth day. But his first day on this earth was a day in which God was resting. And he was resting with God. He was there. He's created to know God. chapter 3, sin comes in, and that is disrupted, and then we have all the problems we have in life because we don't have the relationship with God. Okay, when the Lord came, he comes to bring salvation, right? And that does involve eternal life in this aspect of what happens after we die, but a whole lot of what he says about life, you can't push it off to out there completely.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's for that out there, well, then one day I'll be satisfied, but I'm not satisfied now. But if he is walking with me and he is my sufficient, he is my, let's say I'm complete in him, if I have everything in him, then I can face whatever's up here. And that calms the heart down to actually do it, to actually face it. I've got that out of the way, that this fundamental need of my heart has been answered. Therefore, that's behind me. Now I can address myself within peace to all the other things that have to be done.
Yeah.
Without trying to get them to calm my heart. I don't have to have my heart calmed. Mm-hmm. Then I can be a person in the circumstances that go around mm-hmm. that I need to be.
Yeah.
That's huge. Complicated.
No, but I think, I was thinking when you said that God has made us for himself. It reminds me of the quote from St. Augustine, which said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And that's such an encouraging thought, that God has made us for himself. And I don't think we meditate on that or think about that enough in our fast-paced culture. We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
And just to rest in the reality that God made us, he knows us, and then his desire is that we come to him, because our relationship has been severed by sin. But ultimately the rest, satisfaction, the contentment is in him.
Right.
And so I think that's a huge thing that we need to think about, is that the result, that satisfaction is the result of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I guess one of the things that I was thinking is, we had talked about going into Ephesians, but it talks about all the things of who we are in Christ.
Right.
And realizing that because of our relationship, all of those things are true in us and we are complete in Christ.
Right.
In that aspect, how does that, that reality help us stay rooted and grounded as we face all these things that the world can throw at us to like distract us and to draw us away and to claim that this is satisfaction? How does that help us?
Okay, those again, all the things that he talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, they relate back to tensions that are in the heart. Mm-hmm. All right, he's blessed us with all the spiritual blessings. All right, he later on is going to pray, and that's where the Spirit of God is real important in all this, because that's what Lord said in John chapter 7, this is the Spirit of God doing this. And when he prays that the Spirit of God would give those men a spirit of wisdom and revelation in who he is, right? And then he's praying that they would see what God has put out for them, all right? I think it's important with regards to satisfaction. It says, I have an inheritance. And Paul wanted them to see they had an inheritance so that they could be freed from worrying about finding an inheritance on this. It's real practical there, but it comes out of the relationship. It's because of my relationship with the Lord, I share his inheritance. Hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That I have a hope today. I have hope. There's never a time when I'm hopeless. It doesn't happen because of this. Therefore, I can be satisfied. And as Paul says, you can. He could do all things. I can know. That's the third part that he says there. I can know the power of God. I can know that I'm never going to get caught in a place where what God demands of me isn't fully supplied in Jesus Christ. Because I'm to know, he says, the power of his resurrection. All right. I know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, that he's always working in us. That satisfies because I know it. Those are just aspects of it. As I see all that the Lord's done for me, that he has loved me, that he has called me, that he has died for me, that he has provided for me, that he's told me what he's doing. He hasn't left me in the dark. And those are all aspects of what happens when I have a relationship with somebody. They talk to me about where they're at. And as they talk, then I begin to understand, and we enter into that.
When, like, can we jump down the power one? Because I think that can be overwhelming. People can, they just can be overwhelmed by all the things that they feel like they need to do. And right. Realizing like, or what the, I guess what they think the Lord has called them to do. How would you say that the satisfaction specifically is helpful in that area?
Okay. Back to Paul's word. And I think, if I come to the Lord and I'm aware that now my life is in his hands, okay, and that's part of what you do when you come to him, you put it in his hands, yeah. And now we're walking together, okay, so we're walking together right now, but today had a whole lot of other things that happened for me. There's a whole lot of things I have to do, and there's more piled up for tomorrow, okay? If I'm doing that on my own, if that's my plan being fulfilled to satisfy my heart, it's just, I'm going to do that so that I'll feel good about it. I'll be overwhelmed. I just know that from past experience. But if I know that the places that the Lord has led me to, the things that he's put into my life, the people he has put around me, the challenges that those people bring, and I have to trust the Lord for in my own life, their life, if I know that I am in fellowship with the King who sits on the throne, I can peaceably go through that. I don't have to see a result from it. I don't have to get proof from him. In other words, Sometimes we try to minister and it goes great and everybody, they're blessed. Sometimes you try and they don't respond and things don't go, or you don't have all the wherewithal you thought you should have had. But if you're walking with the Lord and you count on the Spirit of God, and that's if you're conscious of that relationship, it takes away the tension of it.
Yeah.
So I'm satisfied because I can walk away from even things that don't seem to go well, but it's in your hands. All I can do is walk with you.
I think that's huge because people can become, any of us can, become fixated on the things that we have to do. And if we find our satisfaction in the things that we do for the Lord, it won't satisfy us. And it can become so discouraging. But our satisfaction isn't contingent or hanging on to what we do. It's on the Lord.
Right.
And shifting, and I think that's the mental shift that must be made every day, is that it's not, my satisfaction has little to do with the amount of money that I have in my bank account,
right,
or all the things that I have planned out for the day, or my family or my circumstances or any of those things, but that our satisfaction is ultimately on the Lord and in the Lord. And
right,
that is that's the foundation of our day and right, our life.
Right. So it has to be that way. And that's what you see in Paul when you get to 2 Timothy. He's getting to the end of his life, and he lists out a whole lot of things that aren't going right.
Yeah.
He's in prison, but that's really not what bothers him. He's got people that are brothers and sisters who don't like him at that particular juncture for one reason or another. We don't know what it was. He's been deserted, left alone. The Roman church hadn't supported him, and they were the great church, but they hadn't been there. But he's okay. He's okay. And then I like that part, that nevertheless the Lord stood with me, he stood with me. And that, and not only a security issue, but you see his heart is, he's satisfied. It's okay. And I think Paul, like anybody else, you do things, we tend to think of him kind of as pretty much a perfect man, but I don't think he was. There are times when, did he do the right thing? Bible doesn't say he did the right thing, but he's okay for him. because he's come to the Lord. His satisfaction and his hope rest in his relationship with the Lord instead of in what he achieves. Mm-hmm. Nothing else can be our satisfaction mm-hmm. except that relationship, because nothing else is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Nothing is guaranteed. But that relationship is guaranteed. And so we can be in that place where we are more or less, which is, as George Miller would say, happy in the Lord. Mm-hmm. All right, we're just happy in the Lord because, and that makes us free to do other things because, hey, that's, you know, and if it goes well, good. If it doesn't go well, that isn't where my life is. My life is in with the Lord. It is in my relationship, not in the success of my work or how well things go in my family or how the government goes or anything else. It's just in him. Mm. Very important in our day.
Yeah, that's huge. This is a little off subject, but I was thinking about it beforehand, and you had said it in the Ephesians class when I was reading through my notes from Ephesians. I was just thinking about that. In this world, there's always like this ladder that people climb, whether people talk about like the corporate ladder or, but everybody yeah. has like an agenda, right?
Right.
Like there's always like, oh, I can do this. If I meet this person, then I can. And so we can get caught up in that. But in Christ, we're called to, we are totally satisfied because of that relationship. But also as Christians, everyone is totally equal in right. the Lord.
Amen.
And realizing that, I think it's a quote from you. From the Ephesians class, but it says, Jesus does not save half-converted people. He saves sinners.
Right.
And realizing that, like, in Christ, it's an even playing field. It's not an attempt to be better than everybody
right.
else.
Amen.
It's that the Lord is totally satisfied each and every one of us perfectly and
right.
completely. And we're not trying to outbeat somebody else.
Yeah.
And but realizing that everything that the Lord is to you, he is to the other person
right.
that's sitting across from you, or, and that he can be that to every person. Like there is that hope.
Right.
And so, I think that can be helpful.
Amen.
Realizing that, aspect. So I guess my next question is, how can we develop daily habits that help us seek satisfaction in Christ?
Right. I think let's think about, we had the word rest, we had the word satisfied, you know, thirst, we thought about that, to ways we can look at this. I think it's important to remember what the way the Lord put it. It's always come to me. I'm the bread of life. Come to me. He comes to me. If any man's thirsty, let him come to me. All right. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So that in our thinking, it's always coming to the Lord. That's what we're always trying to do. Now, how we're going to do that, but we're going to come to him. All right? We're getting to the person of Jesus Christ. And I do think that's a crucial feature. We walk with the Lord. He's right with us all the time. The satisfaction depends on us coming to him and receiving, because he says, come and eat, come and drink. Come to me, take my yoke. All right. You're always doing something with that person that leads to it. So to enable us to experience the satisfaction, we're always coming to the Lord. And of course, there are those two great ways. How am I going to come? I have to come and listen to what he has to say. I have to constantly be coming back to the word of God to let him keep readjusting. We have to keep recalibrating our goals and thoughts in life. We do that through the Word of God. Right? We keep coming to the Word of God, recalibrate. And that keeps us at, if we don't recalibrate, there are thinkings that are going on and there's thought patterns in the world that are just, they're just the cultural patterns, which will overtake us, begin to shove us off course. We still believe all this, but we're not coming to the Lord. And then we start to try to find, we start to make other things a satisfaction because it's like thirst. All right. It's back to that thirst. I thought, now again, I don't know if you could do this. So I don't know biologically whether it works.
Yeah.
But when a person comes and, okay, I get a big drink of water. Well, I know I'm going to have to drink again because it just has to keep coming. I have to put it in from the outside. Okay. But it's almost as if the Lord is saying, if you come to me, I will put into place something which will pump the water in so that that doesn't go off. Right? So it's not going off. Now, I don't know that that's possible to bypass. Yeah, I don't know if an IV that delivered fluids to a body would, I don't know, I've never been there, whether that stops the thirst mechanism, you know, the sense of thirst. Mm-hmm. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But assume for the moment that it does. But if I move away from that IV, the need is always there. If I pulled that IV, then that long-term satisfaction would go away. Now, the Lord doesn't go away, but it's a life of faith. He makes himself available to us to the degree that I am taking hold of that life as I come to him and put myself, then I will experience the satisfaction. If I start to, if I don't stick with the Word of God, if I don't come back and keep in close touch with him in prayer, I'll begin to drift off the path. There are some very simple ways that the Bible sets for us to stay on track. They're so simple. Everybody says, oh, yeah, that's the, we're to give thanks in everything. We're to rejoice all the time. We're to pray all the time. All right.
Yeah.
Do those three things, and you're probably going to keep on track. And now you'll do that because of the Word of God. You do that in prayer. But I think it's such a simple formula of what to do that only works if you actually do it.
Yeah.
And then we walk away from it.
It's so simple, or it's so, like, we say it so often that it doesn't have an impact on, like, oh, yeah, I know that.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that doesn't equal I do that.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Translating what we know to be true, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, to, like, actually life-changing,
right,
walking with the Lord.
Right.
It's important because that's where life is lived out, is in the daily life. We say it all the time. But that's really important. So I think satisfaction, I love that one thing. Satisfaction in Christ is the result of our relationship with Christ. And remembering that, and then living in that reality that I'm satisfied today because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And any of the things that happen today, good or bad, really don't alter. Well, they don't alter at all that relationship, which doesn't alter my satisfaction.
Right. Yeah.
And sticking with that and realizing that so that, and we see the effects of it in our contentment, in our peace in situations, in our rest.
Right.
And realizing that. So I think that kind of covers the subject, or at least what we were going to cover today. And so I hope that was encouraging to everyone. And as always, you can listen to all of our previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and YouTube. And you can follow us across our channels. And we will see you again next week. And until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.